Let's first look at how to hold the pig. This is an alien thing that the body has to adopt as part of the body, really, because that's when you really feel, but that's when you don't think about it anymore, when you've been using this little thing so much that your body just adapts to it like it was part of it. So it has to go from being a tool to being not existing, really, when you play. So what you do, really, the simplest way of describing this is that it becomes an extension of your index finger here. So put the pick so it points in just approximately the same direction as your index finger, just pointing out there, what is it, 3 millimeters distance to the tip of the index finger here. So now it's gone. Now you have about 3 millimeters there. Then what you do with your thumb is that you put the thumb on the pick so it's angled almost in a perfect 90 degree angle to the point of the pick or the direction of the pick. So you have your index finger is aligned with the direction of the pick and your thumb is in a 90 degree angle. And I put it on like that. And then you have just a little bit of the pick just tipping out there. What I do then is, but that's a personal preference, my index finger is positioned just like that. So it's slightly lower than the tip of the pick. And so this is my playing position. What happens now is that when I start to play, the pick just finds its own position and with just a little bit of adjustment, it has its perfect position because I've been playing for so long. So this is actually how it's positioned when I play. So it's very close to what I just showed you, but you can see that the angles are just slightly different. So, and that's what will happen to you if not already, is that this position, although the standard position I just showed you, will then be a bit change to fit your special needs. So that's how to hold the pick, and then here's how to position your arm, your hand. This is a very simple short video because this is actually not as complex as we could make it be. Here is a bone. It's where your wrist starts, really. So I have a bone on each side of your wrist here, and this bone right here, it's very significant. It just pops out of your hand like that, and you place this bone where the low E string meets the bridge. And if you want to mute the strings very much, you position it a little towards the head of the guitar or the headstock. If you want to have no muting, you just pull it just a little bit back like that, but it's always positioned right where the low E string meets the bridge. When you pick the lighter strings, it might move down slightly, and when you pick the lower strings, it might move up slightly. So you have that kind of movement there, but I never lose the bridge. I never leave the bridge. I'm always in contact, close contact with the bridge. And then what you do when you pick is that you simply use this point on the low E string or the bridge there as an anchor point. So that's where, like a pendulum, that's exactly where the hand, that's the same always. It always moves like that. Your hand moves, but this is just anchored in the same place. So that's how you know where you are. And when you then pick the strings, you use your fingers. You can just withdraw your thumb a little bit to angle the pick. If it's not withdrawn, the pick should be fairly parallel to the strings, and you can pick like this, completely parallel to each string. And as you can see on my thumb, it changes its angle a little bit as I go down here. Now it's more extended, now it's withdrawn just a little bit when I get down to the lower strings. So that's the way to do that. But then when you pick, you just angle your pick just a little bit. So this is completely parallel, my pick is on the string, and then you angle it just a tiny bit here, like that. Everyone does this. Every really, really good alternate picker, or just anyone who's really good at this, has a slight angle here. What that does is that it creates, if you really want to, if you exaggerate it, you can really feel what it does. It just takes away just a little bit of the precision. Because if you pick just parallel to a string, there's no, you don't, how should I explain this? When you, let's exaggerate it so you can see it. If I angle the pick like that, then my pick is going to be in contact with the string for much longer than if it's just completely parallel. If it's parallel, it's going to hit it and leave it. There's no sliding on the string at all. When I angle it, there's a bit of sliding. I hit the string, and then the string slides off the pick. But when it's parallel, it doesn't slide anywhere. It just releases it. So this is the thing for accuracy. It's really having the pick completely parallel to the string. Then you have something you can count on. But the sliding motion here makes it just a little bit easier to pick, because it lowers the amount of precision you have to have in order to produce the note. If you do like that, it's easier, just try it yourself, to achieve a fluent picking motion, because the resistance that you feel when you get to the string, when you release the string, isn't as great, because it's sliding on and off. It's like picking with a tennis ball, really. It's sliding on and off, slide, rather than sticking to the pick and then releasing it. But this is really the thing you want if you want to develop precision. See, I'm just angled just slightly here, as you can see. The pick is not parallel, but it's angled just a little bit. And that's my brain's way of saying, okay, this is great, Klaus, but we need just a little bit of headroom, or just a little bit of room here, a little bit of sliding, to not have to be that precise to get a completely even picking motion. I do not, under any circumstances, recommend that you pick like this. This is one of the shortcuts to picking, which will really just make you unable to pick precisely in the long run. But as you get to the lower strings, you increase the amount of angle you have to the strings a little bit, because the fatter strings really requires you to have a little sliding motion across the string. Because they're so fat, it just feels better. So I have almost no angle on the high E string, and then on the low E string, I have quite some angle. What is that? That is about, what is that? 10 degrees on the lower strings, and then on the higher strings I have almost nothing. So, yeah, so that's really, and you might say, oh, how many degrees is that? What is a slight little, and I'm sorry, but it's really not, you are different, you have a different hand, and probably also a different pick, so these little things will vary, just so these are general advice that I can give you. Some is very specific, and this is very specific, picking just to completely parallel to the string, but just moving it up just a little bit is not an exact science, but I hope you can see and get an impression here. If I play this string, this is parallel, and this is the angle I would have to the string. Maybe I can just, no, this is not easier to see. Parallel, and then a slight angle. This is the angle I would have on the low A string. Angle here, and a little bit of angle there. So that's the way to do it. Then we have the depth of the pick. How far should we go in towards the body? How much of the pick should we use? When I do accents, when I play a louder note, when I go for instance, what happens there is that I don't just go faster down on the string, I go a little deeper, and that going deeper there really requires me to push a little harder. So I go deep and I push harder. And that's how the note becomes louder. And you do the exact same thing when you do it. Because you have to. It's really hard to pick a loud note using just a tiny bit of your pick. It can be done, of course. But it's much easier if you really get a good piece of the pick on the string there. So the louder you pick, the more of the pick you want to use. But we're talking about, what would that be? We're talking about 2 to 3 millimeters of going down underneath the string. So if this is from the right angle, and I would say this is about it. If you look at the high E, let's take a thicker string here. The D string there. So this is not picking the string, and this is the depth that I would have when I'm picking it. This is perhaps when I'm playing very fast, this is perhaps the depth. Because then I'm not thinking so much about volume, but more about precision and getting on with it. So if I have to get on with it and get to the next note in a hurry, then I can't afford to pick like that, or to have that much pick underneath the string. In the beginning of anyone's development, you tend to have more than this. So you tend to go deeper below the string, because that will just even out the inaccuracy. So you can say, if this is all the depth you have, then you don't have to, if you're not that skilled, then you're going to move it up and down just slightly every time you pick, and sometimes you're going to hit the string, and sometimes you're not, because you don't have that kind of accuracy yet. So what you do to compensate for that naturally is just to pick deeper. So you go deeper down the string, so you don't have to have that amount of accuracy to hit it every time. And then what does that do? Well, that will just result in you picking harder. You use more force to pick the note because you're going deeper. So you really have to push to get beyond the string. So what that does is that you're using a lot of force to produce each note to compensate for the lack of accuracy. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in the last video in these core lessons. But just to just note that the less accuracy you have, the deeper you tend to go, and the more muscle energy you tend to use, which will make you tired in your hands. So, and we're going to talk about that later, as I said. So, ideally, just use 1 or 2 millimeters, maybe 3 millimeters when you're doing accents below the string, and that's it. So now you have it. You have your right hand positioned in the right place, your bone just where the low E string meets the bridge, the perfect position for muting as well. And you know how to hold the pick. It's in the direction of your index finger here, and then you position your thumb so it's like that. What you don't want to do when you hold the pick is to do like that. This is just a recipe for inaccuracy, and just it's really hard to control anything here, because now you just lock your hand. You can't do anything. You can't really move the pick very much. So you have gone from picking with your fingers and having the ultimate precision tool here to picking with your hand, because there's no precision. There's no tool here anymore. It's just locked up. And so you can pick like this, and it will work for you, no doubt about it. But you lack the precision that you can get by holding your pick with two fingers only. And then when you pick, relax every part that you're not using. So make sure that these fingers here are relaxed, just laying on the guitar, instead of being crammed up like that, because that will force you to relax in your hand. So if you pick like that, with a hand that looks like that, instead of a hand that looks like that, then you force your hand to be relatively relaxed, because it's very hard to tense up when your fingers does like that. So that's the position, really, of the remaining fingers that are not doing anything. So don't keep them there, keep them out here. And then don't do this so that you pick with your whole hand. You want to get to the point later where you have the ultimate picking technique, where you can really where you can really have an expressional tool that is not just bah, picking fast, you know, just, oh, we just want to produce a lot of notes. We also want to be able to influence the notes when we play. We want to be able to play loud and soft, and we want to be able to do pinch harmonics. We want to do all sorts of things with these two fingers, and we want to preserve this ingenious tool that these two fingers can give you. So please don't do that. This, keep your fingers relaxed out here, and then pick with just a 2 millimeters below the string when you towards the body here. When you do accents, you push it down just a little bit so you get more string, and then you use a little more force to produce the note, so you can go. And you can actually see when I do the accent, I'm angling my pick just a little bit. That doesn't happen when I'm playing faster, but that's a sure sign that my brain is actually trying to increase accuracy by just making it a little easier to slide over the string. And just keep that angle right there, so you have a little angle just to the string, and as you go deeper here, the angle increases so that you almost don't have any angle on the high E string. So that's really the technique of the right hand. And then what you want to do when you sweep pick is exactly the same. You keep your hand in the same position. You keep your pick in the same position to the string, same angle. What I tend to do is I have a little leftover bad strategy for when I sweep pick, because when I was learning this, I was angling my pick, because it's obviously easier to slide your pick over the strings if it does like that than if it does like this. This would be very hard. But you really don't want to do this. You want to use the same technique in your right hand. Because when you do that, when you have the same technique, you don't have to shift gears. You don't have to say, oh, just a minute, I just have to sweep pick. So I have to angle my pick, and then I have to get to legato afterwards, and then I have to do alternate pick, and that requires me to use my whole hand, and I have all sorts of strategies for each technique. No, you want to use the same technique, and why should you use anything different? So when you sweep pick, you go. And also, when I do that, it just feels better. I'm in much more control than if I. You see how the pick can. Don't do that. Don't do what I did. Do what I say. So you don't want to develop special techniques for each technique here. Also, when you do economy picking, that's a just sweeping. Same technique. Because then you can just keep picking. Just produce the notes and don't do all these funny things to. All those funny things that you have to engage in from technique to technique. And what that will do for you is it will make it so much easier for you to just go from technique to technique. So just a little lick like this. See, just angling it when I get down there. A lick like that involves sweep picking, legato, or hammer-ons and pull-offs. Then alternate picking, and then economy picking afterwards. And the only way to do this is to if you have the same picking technique for each technique, because there's no difference, there's no distance from alternate picking to economy picking. This, it's just the same thing over here. It's just a matter of what you pick and yeah, what notes you pick really, and in what order you use the down or up strokes. So I really advise you to keep the same technique for every single one of these picking techniques. Economy picking, sweep picking, and alternate picking. So that's it. That's the right hand technique. And in the beginning, focus on relaxing. So you just counter working on, because in the beginning you're going to have to use more force to get it precisely, and just don't do too much of it. See if you can relax as much as possible. And a good way to do that is to ensure that these fingers are really hanging down there, like this, instead of being up here. If they're up here, you can really tense up. But if they're down here, it's really hard to tense up in your hand. And you have to use intelligence more than you're using brute force, really, because that brute force is fine as such, because you're we're going to talk about that later. So keep the fingers relaxed, and then use each one of these little guidelines here. And don't be too focused on them. Just see them as general principles, because what's amazing is you have an amazing brain, and let's say you just knew nothing about this and you didn't engage in all sorts of strange ways of holding the pick to get there faster, but you were just, you know, just pleasurably just picking away, never playing faster than you could actually perform it accurately and without mistakes. You were just picking away, just like, just whatever seems the easiest way to you, then your brain would naturally develop the most efficient strategy. Really, your brain would naturally develop the most effective strategy. And I'm repeating that because that's a little counterweight to these. There must be a better way. I'm not doing it right. What I'm showing you here is really what my brain came up with as the most effective way. When I didn't push it. If I pushed it, it started, you know, doing all sorts of strange things to get there faster. But if you don't push it, just let it work. Just do it. Just pick the note accurately. Just have it sound out. Don't use force. Don't try to tense up in your arm and do all sorts of that kind of stuff. Just pick with your hand. Have it anchored right there. And then your brain can actually figure it out itself, because it's going to follow the path of least resistance. That's what your brain always does, unless you are putting demands on it because you want to get there faster. So you want to get there faster than your brain can really do it, and it's going to try and do what you want, and then it's going to come up with all sorts of strange strategies that's going to emulate, or it's going to look like you can play fast, but it's just going to hold you back and push you down. So really focus on letting the brain do its work, and then patiently do your millions of repetitions in front of the TV. And then remember, it does not take 10 years. It takes a couple if you're starting from zero. If you have just the same amount of hours that anyone watches TV at night, or the general population watches TV at night, if you use that time to practice accurately, slowly, then in a couple of years you'll be as good as anyone in the world, I promise you, if you do that. So let's move on now to the left hand.